Good evening. It is a pleasure to be with you. And I'd like to thank David for reading the Word of God. We know it's a living Word. I'd also like to thank Stephen Miller for leading. Stephen is a second-year ministerial student from Port Glenone. And I'd like to encourage you to keep your Bible open at Exodus chapter 20 there. Before we come to the preaching of God's Word, can I encourage you? Not out of routine, but out of sincerity and simplicity, has asked the Lord to speak to us through His Word. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for the great honor that we have of coming before Thee in prayer. Lord, we do not deserve such an honor. Father, we do not deserve the honor of having Thy Word. We do not deserve the honor of being told where we have fallen, where we have went wrong. And Lord, we most certainly do not deserve of You sending Your Son to live, to die, rise again, and then to pray for every one of us as people. But Lord, we thank Thee that in Thy love that Thou hast done each of these things. Father, I ask Thee, Thou hast called me to proclaim Thy Son. Father, Thy Word tells us Thou art faithful. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Lord, I cry, let Christ be seen by me, and let Christ be seen by every one, boy and girl, and every man and woman this evening. Lord, I cry, let us see Christ. Let Him alone be seen. Let everyone see our need. But Lord, let us see Him, the One who has satisfied that need. And Lord, let us trust Him. And let us love Him with all that we have. Even greater, Lord, than what we came in here. Let us love Him more. Father, I ask, and according to Thy will, Thou hast created us that we would love Thee, that we would know Thee, and that we would obey Thee. Lord, come by God the Holy Spirit, in agreement to the promise that Christ has given, that if we being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more shall Thou give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Forgive me for my sins, cleanse me afresh in the precious blood of Thy Son, and let Thy Word live tonight for all eternity. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Luke chapter 7, Jesus Christ told a parable. He said that there was a certain creditor, a man who was owed money, and that there were two people who owed him money. There was one man who owed him 50 pence, and there was another man who owed 500 pence. 10 times the amount. But neither of them could pay. Jesus Christ said that the creditor, the man who was owed the money, he saw the need that they had, and he frankly forgave them both. Jesus Christ, after telling this parable, he spoke to a man called Simon, and he asked Simon, "Tell me, which of them will love the creditor most? Will it be the man who owed 50 pence? Or will it be the man who owed 500 pence? Who will love that creditor the most?" Wonder, who do you think would love the creditor the most? The man to whom Christ was speaking, Simon, he answered, Jesus Christ, and we're told that he said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most That is the man who owed 500 pence. Jesus Christ said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Whenever I think it was either my first or my second year in college, we had to learn the shorter catechisms, some of them, for our theology class. And I remember I was reading through them and trying to memorize them into my head. And the way I memorize is trying to understand what it is that's being said. And if I understand it, then I make a little picture up with my hands or whatever it may be. Some of the students can tell this. And then it helps me to memorize it. But as I was learning one of the shorter catechisms, which spoke about the fourth commandment, that we are to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, as I learned what the shorter catechism said, what was required for us, for every single one of us, and indeed what was forbidden us to do on the Lord's day, all I can say is my mind was opened a lot, lot more than what it was. Because I saw more than I ever had, how much I have failed, how much I have willingly rebelled against my God. This evening I want us to look at this fourth commandment. Christ has commanded it. And in it, if you're here and you're not saved, I want you to see that you have a need. I also want you to see that there is an answer to that need. And if you're here and you're saved this evening, I want you to see, as I have seen, that the need that you have had is a lot greater than what you may think. And therefore the answer that you have received is a lot greater than what you'll ever know. And therefore, as a result of those two things, child of God, you'll be more thankful to the Lord for all He has done for you. Christ is commanded here. It's not a piece of advice. It's not a mere guideline. He has commanded here in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The first thing I want us to see regarding this commandment is the reality of it. You see, there's some people out there and they say that you don't need to keep this command. And perhaps you're one of those people. You say, I don't need to keep that command. Well, if you're here and you're saying that in your own heart and your own mind this evening, you'd probably fall into one of two categories of people. You say that you don't need to keep this command of Christ because you believe that there is no God, and therefore there's no God and there's no command. Well, if that's what you believe, let me tell you the words of the living God in Psalm chapter 14. God tells you the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. There is a God, and this is his command. But another category of people, they believe that there is a God, and they say that, well, I know there's a God, I believe there's a God, but yet I still don't believe we need to keep this commandment, because this command was only for those in the Old Testament. You see, they say that in the New Testament, the other nine commandments, they are repeated. They are affirmed and repeated in the New Testament. But yet, this fourth commandment about keeping the Lord's day holy, it's never repeated. And therefore we do not need to keep it. It was only for those in the Old Testament. If that's what you're saying this evening, well then, can I draw your eyes, please, to verse 8. Just the two words that are mentioned in it. First of all, that word remember, which means to call to mind. And then that word keep. You see, whenever God told the children of Israel here, and He gave them these 10 commandments, whenever He came to the fourth commandment, He didn't say, thou shalt not. He said, remember. Call to mind what indeed has already taken place. Call to mind that God has made this day, this seventh day, holy. See, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, we read, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them," that is, God had finished, created them. "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." And here's the key words. "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." And that word sanctify means to set apart, and it means to make it holy. Right at the very beginning of creation, God made this day holy. And therefore, whenever God was speaking to the children of Israel, he didn't say, "Now just make this day holy from here on in." No, he said, "Remember that it is already holy." And then he said, "Keep it. Continue to keep it holy." This is a command for you and for me today. Let me just prove it with one more thing. Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus Christ told us that the Sabbath, this day, is made for man. Because of how he's made, he needs this Sabbath. Can I tell you, Abraham and Moses was not made any different than what you or I are made. We're exactly the same. And therefore, if they needed the day, we need the day too. The reality of this command, Christ has commanded, remember, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Secondly, I want us to see the requirements of this command. And it's in these requirements that we will see by God's grace, how much you and I put myself in there, how much you and I have broken this command. Perhaps you think, I think I might be all right, you know. Well, let's have a look at it. While the summary of the command is mentioned there in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, in verses 9 through to 10, we are told how we keep it holy. And it really splits into three ways. We're told here, God says we keep it holy, first of all, verse 9. God says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And if I was to summarize that, God says, keep this day holy by laboring in work. You see, this fourth commandment, it doesn't just refer to one day in the week. This fourth commandment refers to every single day of the week. And here God says, thou shalt work. Thou shalt labor in thy work 6 days. You see, the word, sometimes we use the word labor and the word work interchangeably. But in the Hebrew, there's two different words that are used here. The word labor refers to serving. It's the action. The word work in the Hebrew refers to the occupation or the employment or the industry. So, for example, I don't know if there's any bakers here, but if you are a baker, your work, your occupation, your employment is as a baker. You work in a bakery. But your labor is the work you do, it's the actions you do as a baker. Okay, it's the service that you give to other men. And of course you do it for God, for His glory. Or indeed if you're a mechanic, well, the work that's used here, that's the job, the occupation of being a mechanic. However, the fixing of the cars, that's the labor. Okay? And God here commands, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And from that we learn just three things. First of all, that you and I are to have an occupation. Whether it's as a student, whether it's as a baker or a mechanic, whatever it may be, we are to have an occupation. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, we are told, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. We are to work. We are to have a work. We are to have an occupation 6 days of the week. We are not to be idle. We are not to be lazy. We are not to waste our time. We are not to waste the talents and abilities God has given us. We are to have a work. We're not just merely to do it half-heartedly, Oh, that'll do. We are to do it with thy might. Now, people misquote that verse and they say we're to do it with all thy might. But that word all, it's implied, because if you do it with your might, you do it with what God has given you. Not just part of it, but with thy might. All that you possess in the form of might, you do it with it. Can I ask you, and I ask myself the same question, 6 days in the week, do you labor? Do you serve other people? Do you honor and glorify the Lord with all your might? Every moment of every day. With all your body, with all your thoughts, with all your soul, with all your heart. Can you say you do that every day? Or do you do it sort of half-heartedly? Do it carelessly? Do it poorly? Even if you do that some of the time, those moments which you and I do it partly, carelessly, poorly, we break God's command. How many times this week do you think you've broken God's command? How many times? I know for myself it's many. We have a great need. God commands in verse 9 that we are to labor and work. But in verse 10, another requirement of this fourth commandment is that we are to labor in worship. You see, we're told here at the beginning of verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And God then commands, in it thou shalt not do any work. Now, did you notice something there? The eagle-eyed among you will realize that God does not say there, in it thou shalt not labor. Did you notice that? The Sabbath day or the Lord's day is not a day where you sit around and do nothing. I used to think that. But it's not. God says here, in it thou shalt not do any work. That occupation, that employment, thou shalt not do it on this seventh day. The word Sabbath is a very interesting word. As mentioned here in verse 10, it means to cease intensely. Not just to stop a bit of it, but to cease, to exterminate it completely. A complete stop. From thought, from action, from desire, everything. Stop. Stop thinking about your work. Stop thinking about your occupation. Stop doing your occupation. That's what we're not to do on the Lord's Day. We're not to have that occupation. We're not to attend to it. But it says here that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And therefore that means that there is something we are to do on the Lord's Day. You see, that word off is very important. For the students who are learning Greek and Hebrew, the word off in this context gives the idea of possession. For example, if you take this pulpit, you could say this is the pulpit of Garva Free Presbyterian Church. That word off means it's the possession of Garva Free Presbyterian Church. If I was to take Stephen and say that is the tie off Stephen, that is the tie that Stephen possesses. And whenever God says that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, he is here commanding that this seventh day belongs, it is possessed to the Lord thy God. And therefore it is not a day for yourself and your own occupation, it is a day for the Lord. It's a day for him. And therefore, whenever we think of that, we think of what we are to do in it. Because we're not told that we're not to labor, we are told that we are to labor. Because how on earth can we give the day to him unless we labor for him? And how do we labor for the Lord? This is what's important. We worship the Lord. We worship Him publicly. God commands us in Hebrews chapter 10 that we are not to forsake the meeting of ourselves together. We are to meet together. And as we meet together publicly, we are to praise His name. Not out of routine, but genuinely. We are to read His Word. We are to hear His Word being taught. We are to pray. Do you come to God's house to do those things? Genuinely. Or can you say that whenever you were singing the hymns earlier, that you never actually thought about the words you were singing? You weren't really praising the Lord. Perhaps sometimes you could have come to the prayer meeting or times of prayer, but you didn't. And as I said, I'm speaking as much to myself as to you. That we might see the great need that we have. How many times have we broken the Lord's command? Even today. Once, twice. We sang all of the verses of those hymns without really thinking upon the Lord and His greatness. In which case, that was 6 verses. With choruses, 2. That's 12 times. Not only are we to worship the Lord publicly, but we are to worship the Lord privately. This is part of our requirements. If you turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah in the chapter 58. Book of Isaiah in the chapter 58. And we'll read words here that are very interesting. Isaiah chapter 58 and the verse 13. And the Lord is speaking. It says in verse 13 of Isaiah 58, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Notice, not a duty, but a delight. The holy of the Lord honorable. And shalt honor Him. Not doing thine own ways. Nor finding thine own pleasure. Nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to rise upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Whenever, not only are we to worship the Lord publicly as we meet together, but whenever we're in our homes, whenever we're in the car on the way to our homes, our words are to be about the Lord and for the Lord. Our conversation is to be for the Lord. That we may know Him more. That we may love Him more. That we would obey Him more. What we say, but also what we read. Whether it's God's Word or magazines, we're not to read that which is worldly, that which has a worldly focus. Just like we're not to speak about that which has a worldly focus. But what we say, what we read, is to be so that we will know the Lord more and that we will love the Lord more. What we say, what we read, what we listen to, whether it's on the radio, whatever it may be, or music. What indeed we play on the Lord's Day. You might say, play. Boys are boys. What are you being taught in the Whitfield College? But you can play on the Lord's Day. I would consider a quiz playing. And if you've got a Bible quiz, in which case you're to seek to teach others, to edify others, to encourage others the Word of God, well, that's what you are to do. What you say, what you read, what you listen to, what you watch, what you play, whatever you do at home, private, you are to worship the Lord, to edify other people. Not to talk about, listen to, watch, anything that's got that worldly, aim to it. Can I ask you, how many times in the Lord's Day have you talked about whatever it may be, sport, you've talked about this, you've talked about that, you've listened to this, it's been your conversation, you've read this, you've read magazines, whatever it may be, and it hasn't been for the Lord. Who is it that owns this day? Who is it that this day belongs to? It is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. this is what we are required to do. I have failed greatly. Have you? Now, of course, God does talk about in His Word about works of necessity. A work of necessity can be defined as that which cannot be avoided. Eating is a necessity. I was fed very well today. Eating cannot be avoided. Sleeping cannot be avoided. And indeed, these two things are to be done for the Lord. If you need to take a nap in the middle of the day, we were talking about this over the tea table. If you need a nap in the middle of the day so that you would be more alert for the Lord's Day evening service and indeed for the rest of your private and public worship in the rest of the day, well then take a nap. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you take a nap for your own selfish indulgence, not because you need to, but for your own selfish motives, well then you've failed. You're serving yourself and not the Lord. A work of necessity is that which cannot be avoided, but it's also that which cannot be postponed. If you were sitting in your home and you happened to, the dinner was being cooked, whatever it may be, or something that needed to be done and the house was set alight, why do you say, well, I can't work in the Lord's day. Well, it cannot be postponed. Get your wee jug of water and start chucking it over it. It can't be postponed. It's a work of necessity. Also, there's something else. A work of necessity can be defined as that which cannot, or that which will eliminate the greatest possible amount of work needed done. Let me just give you an example of what that means. If you were coming out to church to fulfill your requirement in this command, and indeed you get a flat tire, well, if it's going to take you 30 minutes to cycle to church, or indeed 10 minutes to fix the tire, which takes less effort, the 10 minutes to fix the tire? It's a work of necessity. While there's works of necessity, it's allowed, there's also works of mercy. Caring for the sick, visiting the sick, relieving suffering. In Matthew chapter 12, the verse 11 and 12, Christ gave an example of how a sheep had fallen into a pit. And if a sheep had fallen into a pit, you show mercy to the sheep and you lift it out. Jesus Christ showed mercy in many times to people by healing them on the Sabbath day. And therefore, works of mercy, they are allowed. But yet, can I just put in this, and God puts it in. If your motivation for working, whether it's as a nurse, as a doctor, whatever it may be, or whatever that work of mercy is, if your motivation is to please your employer, if your motivation is primarily so you can get that double pay, you're not doing that for the Lord. You're doing that for yourself. Your motivation. Not only what you do, but your motivation is very important. We are required here what we are to do. We are to worship the Lord publicly and privately. But who are we to do it for? Well, it says here also within this here, chapter 10, the first part of the verse, it says that the seventh day belongs to the Lord thy God. And we are to do it for the Lord. We're to do it for the Lord thy God. The word God is the word Elohim. And reminds of the one who is our Creator. The one who gives you life. The one who gives you your family. The one who gives you your talents and abilities. You're to do it for Him. But also the word Lord there is the name Jehovah and reminds us of the one who's made a covenant for salvation. And therefore you are not to serve, you are to serve the Lord because He is your Creator. But you are to serve the Lord in this day because He is your Redeemer. If you ever wanted a motivation to live for the Lord, if you ever wanted a motivation to obey His command, here it is. Look at the one who created you. Look at the one who died for you. Look at the one who loves you. And as we've seen, everything that we're to do in these requirements, the worship, we're not to do it half-heartedly. But as we labor, we're to do it with our might. Not carelessly, not half-heartedly. We're to do it with all that we have. Can I ask you again, how many times today have you broken God's command? Have you worshipped Him in every moment, every second of your private time? Have you worshipped Him properly every moment of your public time? Everything you've done it that you will know him more. Help others to know him more, that you will love him more. Help others to love him more. Just very, very quickly, not only is this command here that we are to labor in work, verse 9, we are to labor in worship, the beginning of verse 10, but it says here, at the end of verse 10, not only that it says here, in it, thou shalt not do any work, but it also says, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. And if you are here and you have that responsibility that God has given you where you are responsible for people, you're the head of a family. You have a responsibility to teach them how to honor the Lord's day. You have that responsibility to be the example to them of how to keep the Lord's day. And if you feel in either of these things you have broken this commandment, how much do you and I feel? You can answer it for yourself. The requirement, the reality of this command we have seen is real. The requirement we have seen. Lastly, the reality, and this is very short. The result of breaking Christ's command. You turn with me, please, to Numbers chapter 15. I just want to read some verses. They're self-explanatory. Numbers chapter 15, and verse 32. And here we are told about the children of Israel. Numbers 15, verse 32. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. Sure, what a big deal. That's what some say. Listen to verse 33. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses, who was the judge in that time, in Aaron, and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. Listen to what the Lord God Almighty says. And the Lord said unto Moses, sure, it's just a little light thing, let him off with it. Doesn't really matter. No. The man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. All the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. As the Lord commanded Moses. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we are told that the wages of sin, one sin, is death. Eternal death. We have failed the Lord. We have broken his command. If you broke it 10 times in one day, then, over a full year, you've broken it 520 times. If you live to the age of 70, you'll have broken it thousands of times. The Bible tells that we deserve the lake of fire for one sin. We deserve, the Bible describes the lake of fire as utter darkness. The Bible describes the lake of fire where people weep, where they gnash their teeth. They're not peace. They're gnashing their teeth in pain. Torment. That's for one sin. How many moments, how many seconds of today, how many moments, how many seconds of this year, of last year, of all the years you've lived, of all the years you're likely to live, thousands and thousands and thousands of times you and I have broken this commandment, and we deserve this lake of fire for every single one of those commands, of one of those times we've broken the command. Eternal wrath of God. Multiplied 10 times by 10 by 10 by 10 by 10. What a great need we have. Do you see it? And praise God, there's a great answer. John chapter 3 and the verse 16. For God so loved the world, the one who we've offended, the one who we have willingly rebelled against, the one whom we have taken his gifts and used and curse his name, blaspheme his name. For God, the one whom we have hated, He so loved the world. Not just loved it, but so loved the world. That He gave His only begotten Son. And you think about what that meant. He gave. He gave His Son to humble Himself to become a human. He gave His Son to be arrested, to be put on trial before earthly kings, where men would lie and blaspheme against Him, where men would get piercing rods and scourge His back again and again and again, until His back was a ploughed field, where the blood gushed down it, where He would then be placed on a cross, and where He would take upon Himself all the sins of men. Do you see it? Do you see it? All of your sins. Do you see it by faith? All of your lies, all the times you've broken this command, the thousands of them, all the wrath that you deserve, do you see it? He took it upon Himself, and He suffered the wrath of God on your behalf. Do you see it? And then He cried at the end, whenever His blood was shed from His brow, His hands, His feet, and His back, He said, "It is finished. It is paid for. It is satisfied. You will never have to pay it. I have paid it. I have loved you. I have lived for you. I have died for you. I have shed my blood for you. I have bought you." Do you see it? I didn't have to, but I have loved you. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. The word believe means to rest. Place your life into His hands. Lord, You died for me. I trust You to save me. Lord, my will, I don't want to walk my own way. I don't want to live my own way. Lord, I place my life into Your hands. Whatever You want, help me to do it. Whosoever believeth, trusteth in Him, giveth their life to Him, lives His way, strives each day, should not perish. Even though we deserve it. But have everlasting life. Unsaved person this evening, do you see your need? Do you see the answer? Christ says, come. He commands lovingly, come. Come on to me. All ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you come? All that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come? Don't put it off for another day. Come. Child of God, this evening. Perhaps, like me, you've seen things in this command that you've never seen before. You've seen how you failed. And I encourage you to see the great love that Christ died for. You see what He has done for you. And in that love, seek to live for Him in thankfulness. You will not live it perfectly. I will not. But strive to live for Him. Let's bind a word of prayer.